Turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you would, please. And verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. Verse 8 is what we'll consider this evening. But let us, who are of the day, this whole passage he's been contrasting believers from unbelievers, from those who walk in the light and those who remain in darkness. He says, let us, those of us that are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Believers are to be sober soldiers. Since we're children of the day, we are called to be sober soldiers who are faithfully serving the captain of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you study the epistles, you find that Paul often describes the Christian life using military metaphors and similes. And there are several parallels between the life of a soldier and the life of a Christian. A soldier must be disciplined in body and mind. He must be physically and mentally tough. And he accomplishes this by rigorous bodily exercise. And as Christians, we're to be fit soldiers who are following a daily routine of spiritual exercise that should include prayer, Bible study, meditation, and witnessing. We are soldiers of the Lord. 1 Timothy 4:7, exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Now, a lot of people say, well, that verse says bodily exercise profiteth little. Well, it does profit a little. So there's nothing wrong with doing it. But make sure that you're exercising yourself unto godliness, unto being like the Lord, walking in His ways, obeying His commands, living in His Word, living by the precepts of His Word. Now, a soldier must be thoroughly acquainted with his weapons if he's going to be effective in battle. You don't send soldiers out untrained. You don't just give them a rifle or a knife and say, go get them. No, there's got to be training. You've got to learn how to use all of these weapons, and you've got to be skillful in their use. A soldier has to know how to operate weapons that are at his disposal. And likewise, Christian soldiers must be thoroughly acquainted with the spiritual weapons that God provides for us. We have the Word of God, Ephesians 6. It's included in the whole armor of God, and it's called the sword of the Spirit. And in order to wield that effectively, we have to know how to use it. And that can only be accomplished by diligent study, by meditation, by memorization, by application of the Word of God. See, it's not enough that you just know what the Bible says. You know, that's just, the Pharisees knew what the Bible said, what the Scripture said. Their problem was they never applied it. They did not put it into daily use. you and I have to know and apply the truth of the Word of God if we're going to be soldiers fit for the Master's use. 2 Timothy 2:15, you know it. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. A soldier must be completely submissive to the orders of his commanding officers. Good soldiers follow the commands of their superiors. And likewise, as Christians, we must loyally, faithfully, willingly carry out the commands of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the captain of our salvation. Whatever He says, we ought to do. We ought to be like those mighty men of David who, when they heard the king's wish for a drink of water from that well in Bethlehem, his wish was their command. They hazarded their lives in order to get that water and bring it back to their king. We ought to have that same kind of mentality as we serve our captain, our king, our Lord. He's the one that gives us our commands to carry out. We have to be resolved to follow the commands of Christ no matter what the cost. And the closer the coming of the Lord is, the more it's going to cost you to be a believer in Jesus Christ, to live a life that is set apart from a world that is in absolute darkness, where there is hatred, cruelty, violence, ungodliness, immorality, immodesty. You have to stand apart as you follow the commands of your King, the Lord Jesus. Soldiers must learn how to endure hardship and difficulty without quitting. And likewise, Christians must fight the good fight of faith in spite of trials and afflictions. They will come. You know, the prosperity gospel that has been prevalent over the past 50 years is heresy. It's nonsensical. This idea that if you're a believer that you'll never suffer sickness or financial trouble or difficulty, that's a lie from hell. Paul the Apostle carried around a physician with him. He had problems with his eyes. He had difficulties. He was imprisoned. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked. He was stoned to death at one time, and the Lord revived him. He was living close to God. He was doing what was right. He was witnessing. He was preaching. He was following the command to go. He wound up in the jailhouse with his feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, him and his missionary companion began to sing, pray and sing praises unto God. How great is that? You got to be willing to endure hardness, difficulties. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. And later on in that chapter, he said that he was willing to endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may know Christ. That is the heart of a real witness, a real missionary who's willing to do anything in order to be used of God. Soldiers always have victory and triumph as their ultimate goal. They should be trained to win the battle. This is where, now I'm going to jump from the spiritual to real training of soldiers today. I really feel like ever since World War II and the Korean War, we have not fought battles to win them as Americans, as the American military. And it's not due to the fault of soldiers. It's because of politicians and because of the global narrative and view that they have. How demoralizing it must have been for the vets that came back from Vietnam, who spilt their blood, sweat, tears, and guts to be mocked, derided, hated. And a lot of politicians were behind that. And when you look at it, I don't know if we've won a war except for maybe that real brief one in the 80s. It was in the 80s, the Gulf War. And we really didn't go far enough then. It's sad. To me, I can't believe. It's just a year ago. Politician Biden pulled the troops out of Afghanistan and left everything we had there. I mean, that is just one of the worst testimonies for our nation, that our nation has ever had to endure. How demoralizing it must have been for our military, who fought and bled and died for years and years, only to see it go down a rat hole. Soldiers have to be trained to win the battle. And as believers, we have to fix our eyes upon the triumph that we have in Jesus Christ and look forward to the day when we'll enjoy the spoils of victory in heaven. The difference between our battle and those of militaries of the world, there's a chance they're not going to win. There is a real, real chance that they're going to be defeated. But as a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are guaranteed victory. Amen. Here and on into eternity, the Lord's with us. No matter how dark and how difficult the days may be, we have victory in Jesus. We can sing that song. And may God give us grace to live it. You see, spiritual soldiers have an advantage over earthly soldiers because we know for sure that we will ultimately triumph over all our foes because of the victory we have in our crucified and risen Lord. The battle's already been won. And I pray that God will give us grace to be able to say with the apostle, when he said this at the end of his days, as he was facing beheading, he said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." He was confident. I like what D. Edmund Hebert said. He said, "This military metaphor was prepared for and suggested by the sober vigilance just advocated, the proper characteristic of the sentry. The believer is not only a watchman, but also a warrior. He must not only be alert and self-possessed, but also equipped to resist the onslaught of the enemy. While awaiting the return of his Lord, the believer must be on guard, for he waits in a hostile world." Now, sober means to be of a sound mind, and I believe it also has an application, sobriety. You know, you are not going to serve the Lord effectively if you're a drunk. It's just a fact. There is no quibbling, no arguing about this. If you're drinking, you aren't serving. Your mind will be muddled. You won't be able to do things properly. We covered that in the last lesson, though. Now, he gives us also here the key parts of the soldier's armament and weaponry. And here, he mentions the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of salvation. There is a parallel passage that expands on the whole armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 19. We're not going to cover that tonight, but it starts out, well, you know what? Let's go back over there and read it, okay? Because this is really important. And it goes right in line with this idea that you have to be a sober soldier. He says in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Now, soldiers often trust in their physical prowess, in the ability that they have learned and gained. They have confidence in their ability. He's telling you, we are in a whole different warfare, and that's why you've got to put all of your confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Listen, the devil's alive and he's working. The idea that the devil is chained right now and that he is unable to do anything, that's nonsense. Like the old black woman said, if he chained, he got a mighty long chain. He got a mighty long chain. Fact is, he ain't chained. He is as a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. We're wrestling against spiritual wickedness. Verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." You're talking about devils and demons and darkness and wickedness. And we need the Lord if we're going to be effective soldiers. He says, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." Put on the whole armor of God. Now let's cover what we're studying here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He exhorts spiritual soldiers to put on the breastplate of faith and love. This piece of spiritual armor is absolutely indispensable in the Christian life. The breastplate was a piece of armor that covered the soldier's body from neck to waist, and it protected the vital organs, especially the heart, the very center of his life. And faith is the inner attitude of entire dependence upon Jesus Christ and complete resignation to His will. It's saving faith that protects the saint of God from the penalty of the law as well as the accusations of Satan. It's faith in Christ, faith in His righteousness, casting yourself entirely upon His death for you, His burial, His resurrection for your eternal life. You see, the moment that the believer exercises the gift of faith, the righteousness of Christ is charged to his account. It's imputed to him. And it protects him. It protects him from the wrath of God and also the fiery darts of Satan, of the devil, of our enemy. What a wonderful breastplate of righteousness. A breastplate of faith. You know, you can't serve the Lord without faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Have you ever noticed how Hebrews chapter 11 starts out? It starts out about faith. And one of the first aspects of faith is that you believe God is the Creator. You quoted it, but people on Facebook can't hear it. So I'm going to go over there. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Now notice, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The hall of faith starts out with a belief that God is the Creator, even though we can't begin to fathom how God said, "Let there be light," and light was. We believe it because we know God is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. This is one, again, it's one of my pet peeves. It's all the way through the Bible. You don't believe God is the Creator, the Sustainer, the Upholder of this divine creation, you're calling God a liar. You're saying that there are vast portions of His Word that are untrue. That's why evolutionists and atheists are constantly attacking creation. How can you believe that in a young earth? How can you believe God created? How could somebody believe that this world is billions of years old? That it came about through little trickles, like the Grand Canyon, that somehow that was formed by a little trickle of a river that goes through it. That's nonsense. I believe God. Amen. Yeah, I believe He created. I also believe He flooded the entire world. Right. And it's one of the reasons why you have so many geologic miracles. Yes. Valleys, mountains, carvings of things that man could not even think of doing. God did it. I believe Him. Because it's in the Word of God. Faith. And that faith grows and is nourished by the reading, the hearing, and the application of the Word of God. You see, the Word reveals the person who we are to have faith in to direct our everyday lives, Almighty God. We have to believe that He is. That He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. The breastplate of faith also includes faith in God's power. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. There's nothing too hard for God. I can guarantee you, every sickness you've ever had and that you've recovered from, it's been due to the power of God Almighty. Now, He may have used men in some way, shape, or form, but a lot of times He does it without men. God can do it. When Adelaide called last night, and she was all upset, I said, "Wait a minute, let me talk to your dad. I can't understand what you're trying to tell me." Well, I knew it was serious because Josh is a lot like me. We never took our kids to the hospital. They nearly had to have an arm cut off or something for us to go to the doctor. And I said, "Josh," I said, "why don't you just put some ice on it?" He said, "I tried that, man." And he said, "I've seen it." And she's got to go. So he took her and got an x-ray and things. And turns out she dislocated her knee and her kneecap was on the side of her. It was a mess. But you know what? I started praying. "Lord, touch her, heal her. Lord, please make it so nothing's broken, that nothing's torn." I just started praying specifically. And you know what? By the grace of God, she's going to be healed up. Now, she may be a little gimpy here and there, but I believe that God, every time you recover from anything, it's His power. It's His grace. You need to remember that. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. We can depend upon His power. Think about this. He enabled the Israelites to cross the Red Sea. And there's going to be plenty of Red Seas in your life where God's going to have to roll back obstacles and difficulties and trials. And you're going to have to step out in faith. God has the power to defeat the giants that pose threats to us, the Goliaths that mock our God. God is able. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us, and He has great power. Faith also enables us to trust in the unfailing promises of God that are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Faith gives us grace to trust in the sovereign plan of our gracious Heavenly Father. All of these aspects of serving and sanctified faith provide us with protection from the onslaughts of Satan and the world. Things that happen to you, trials that you're going through, God is using them to make you better soldiers. There's no such thing as an accident with God. There's a purpose behind it all. Now, it's faith in God and His Word that also prepares us to combat and overcome temptations to sin. That's why David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. With my whole heart have I sought Thee. Oh, let me not wander from Thy commandments." Love is also included as part of the breastplate. In regeneration, the new birth, the Holy Spirit sheds the love of God abroad in our hearts, enabling us to love God and His people. Faith works by love. They're indispensable, inseparable graces. Isn't it great when you understand that God loves you and that He's given you His love in your heart and enables you to learn how to forgive people like He is forgiven? And that, to me, that's just one of the astounding marks of genuine Christianity. This love that's shed abroad in our hearts and that gives us the capacity to love God and to love other people. Because there are times I'm really unlovable. And yet God's people love me. And the Lord loves me. But faith and love, faith works by love. They're inseparable graces that serve to keep the believer sound both in doctrine and practice. The breastplate of love must be daily worn by the saint and is manifested by placing all of his affections upon Christ, serving Him in sincerity. And everything that comes into your life, you say out of a heart of love, Lord, I accept, I resign, I submit myself unto You. Through this trial, this difficulty, whatever I'm called upon, love will motivate you to walk by faith and to serve Him faithfully. When the heart is filled with love for God, it will naturally lead to love for the people of God as well as a love for lost sinners. I covered this morning the two greatest commandments are to love God with everything you got and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's the essence of the moral law, and it can all be boiled down into one word, love. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Paul also includes in this armament the helmet of salvation as a necessary piece of armor that may be put on, that must be put on. Those who were saved by sovereign grace have a heavenly hope that serves to protect them in this battlefield, in this uneven journey of life. We must all pass through trials, temptations, hardship, but the helmet of salvation enables us to focus on the future glory which yet awaits us and enables us to keep on fighting the good fight of faith. You see, the biblical meaning of hope does not denote insecurity or doubt about our salvation. Rather, biblical hope is an earnest expectation of future glory when our salvation is completed in glorification. And this hope in God protects our mind and affections, enabling us to fix our aspirations and our future upon the Lord and His unfailing grace. You know, when you all, I'm sure you've had days or weeks or maybe even years where you've just felt completely overwhelmed, that everything is kind of crashing in on you, and you're having trial after trial. And when those things happen to me, I just say to myself and to the Lord, I know I'm going to heaven. I know that no matter what happens to me here and now, I have hope in Him. And that's what gets me through. That's what keeps me fighting and marching and just being able to keep on keeping on. Because I know if the very worst happens and somebody shoots me in the head tonight, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to glory. I have a hope beyond the grave. And that protects us. May God give all His people the grace to live as faithful, sober soldiers. And may we be actively waging warfare against sin and Satan and the world until Jesus comes. Good soldiers follow the admonition of 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. May God help us to be sober soldiers of our Lord. Let's all stand.